All right, speed round with Sam Amick of USA Today and the A to Z podcast. That's Amick to Zilgit. And both Jeff Zilgit and Sam Amick are on the scene here at the NBA Finals. But here on this Friday afternoon, we're back at Oracle Arena where, really, you know, 12 hours ago, the Warriors took care of business, the bench stepping up big. Any surprises?
Huge. You just said it, Lawrence. And by the way, on speed round, do I have to talk really quickly? I feel like I should talk quickly. And yeah, I mean, the bench was unbelievable for the Warriors. What was the final tally? You probably have it on the tip of your tongue.
45 bench points, and the point differential was 35 points. I hear like the most all time.
It was unreal. I mean, we go into this thing for with good reason hyping the superstar matchups, the rematch, LeBron, Steph, Klay, Kevin Love, Kyrie. And the Cavs stars had, you know, decent games. And we talked last night after the game, my partner Jeff Zilgit, who you mentioned, about the idea that if you would have told the Cavs that their big three were going to do what they did in game one and, you know, don't give them the rest of the equation, but they'd probably feel pretty good about that kind of a night. But Sean Livingston, Barbosa, Andre Iguodala, I mean, obviously the right move with Steve Kerr and his staff to not put Andre in the starting lineup. Harrison Barnes was really aggressive early. I felt like that got the starting unit going. Iguodala's night was a little bit underrated. I think he had 12 points and 7 boards, 6 assists, and that key play, I mean, you know, coincidental or not, after he got plunked below the belt, they obviously, by Dellavedova, they took off and pulled away.
Why is that happening so much in the NBA playoffs?
I don't know, but it's maddening is the wrong word, but it's like perplexing to cover because you can't read these guys' minds. So we all have our opinions, and reputations always play a part, right? And that goes for Draymond and his stuff. That goes for Dellavedova. They've got histories of different skirmishes and plays that you know, you've got a track record there. With Dellavedova, I mean, a lot of folks said, oh, that wasn't intentional. I don't know. I mean, I felt like you swung. You weren't anywhere near the ball. He said he was trying to grab his arm. And correct me if I'm wrong. I've seen the replay a couple dozen times. But, I mean, I felt like the hand was even closed, which if you're, you know, trying to grab an arm, that's not typically what you're going to do. And he got him good. Obviously, I mean, Iguodala is not typically the type of guy to react strongly. He's really level-headed out there on the floor. That was a different situation. But it got him going. And even the third quarter, the Cavs get that one-point lead. But for me, Lawrence, it was one of those games where I never truly actually believed Cleveland was going to win that game. The Warriors just dominated from beginning to end.
We're talking about hand speed, but really when it comes down to defensive positioning and hand speed, when you look at what Andre does and what Draymond Green does, I've really never seen anything like this. What is comparable defensively to the way they swipe at the ball and create turnovers?
I don't know. It is impressive. I mean, you talk, you know, you got me thinking about Floyd Mayweather and guys that that just know how to control their bodies. And Andre in particular is so much fun to watch. Give him a ton of credit, man. Draymond's tremendous, but he's got youth on his side. I mean, you're Andre Iguodala. You've been doing this for a long time. At this point in life, he has a choice to make. Am I going to be the kind of professional that I am? Would keep my body in the kind of shape that I do and be such a huge X factor for this Warriors team? Or am I going to fall off a little bit like so many guys do at that point in their career? I just marvel at his ability to keep playing at the level that he does. But you're right, he and Draymond have that in common, the defensive versatility and how great they are on that end. It's interesting though to see matchups are obviously so big in this league, and so against the Thunder, a lot of their strengths were mitigated a little bit just because of the Thunder skill set, and you didn't see them having the ability to wreak havoc like they had, you know, seemed to be again in this series and after game one.
Next time, let's not call this speed round with Sam, because it was nice to speak at such a calm, normal pace. We'll call this relaxing times with Sam Amick. And
coincidentally, the Cavs need to slow it down in this second game. You like that transition? That's important. Ty Lue, another factor for me, is that he's a rookie coach. This is his first experience in the playoffs, and he came in talking about how we're going to be us. We're going to play fast. And he was asked, like, aren't you a little afraid of playing fast against the Warriors? It's the Warriors. And he kind of defiantly said, we're not going to change who we are. And that backfired. The third quarter, they slowed it down, and they're going to have to do that again in game two and make it look a little more like they did in the finals last year, where they mucked it up and played D and had that grit that wasn't there in game one.
This is Warriors sound coverage of the NBA Finals. I'm Lawrence Scott coming to you from Oracle Arena on this Friday where the Warriors have wrapped up practice as they get prepared for Sunday's Game 2 against the Cleveland Cavaliers, coming off of Thursday night's Game 1 victory. And we will hear from Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, and Coach Kerr. But we start things off with Steph.
Just wondering if anything feels different once you win a championship, whether it's a burden being lifted or a confidence being instilled in a team that allows a team to play with more looseness and play maybe better or play at a higher level than they did the year they won the championship. If you've noticed any of that this year?
Over the course of the regular season, we obviously had ultimate confidence in ourselves because we had won and all that went into winning a championship last year. The journey's obviously been different, and we've talked about that along the way. Mm-hmm. Getting back to the playoffs, I think it's there's a different kind of pressure that you feel because you know the feeling of winning and you want to get back there. But there's also a sense of expectation, knowing, you know, as you get through each round, how to deal with the emotions, the environment of the playoffs and themselves, when you know, whether you're at home or on the road, the hoopla that's around it, and especially when you get to the finals. Yesterday was a very good feeling, kind of knowing the schedule of the day and practice and how to deal with it, and once the ball dropped, I didn't feel as much anxiousness as last year. It obviously means as much, if not more, this time around, but you just have a certain sense of comfort knowing that you've been through it before, and at the end of the day, it's just basketball, and going out and having confidence in what you do.
OKC, you think that falling back on that may have helped you guys get through those three games?
For sure. It wasn't any panic. It was just understanding the moment. I mean, we were down 2-1 twice last year and had to rattle off three straight. Granted, it wasn't facing elimination, so it was a little different, but the more experiences you go through, I think, the better you are at handling anything that's thrown at you. We obviously had to, play well and figure it out quickly to get to the finals, but we relied on the experience for sure.
Over on the right side, one.
Steph, is there ever a time like yesterday when the second unit's rolling like that and you're sitting there next to coach and your time to come in the game is coming up? Do you have any input with Coach Kerr saying, man, let them roll, they're doing their thing, I don't want to get in and perhaps ruin some momentum that this second unit has going? Like, what's your role in that situation?
There have been times where I've kind of given the look, like, because I'm a competitor, I want to go out there and play, but that's just me being selfish at that point, trying to get back out there. You understand that when the talent that we have on the bench, when they're out there playing like they did last night, I mean, yeah, why stop the momentum? Why get in the way of that? There's going to be a time when I get back out there on the floor, me, Clay, whoever's, you're in the position usually to close out games, we can get out there and still have an impact on it. But all year we've relied on our depth. The minutes that, we logged in the regular season is because of how well our bench can obviously, protect leads, but also build them like they did last night. So it's fun to kind of see them bring the energy and do what they do.
Mark?
Steph, watching your ritual last night before the game and ending with the tunnel shot.
You asked me about that the other day?
Yeah.
I said it didn't have an effect on my shooting. I might have been wrong.
0-for-5 last night. Noticed that. Steve talked about the little kid in you, and you kind of like punched the ball from three-point range to try to get it in. What is it about that tunnel shot that brings out the little kid in you? And from all the crazy, difficult shots you take in a game, where does that rank in terms of degree of difficulty?
Honestly, it's not. It's a tough angle, but it's not that difficult a shot. But I just, ever since college, I always try crazy trick shots in practice and games, just having fun. When you're in the gym all the time, you got to find little things that keep it fun. So, yeah, that's kind of been a part of just my personality and things like that. And it's kind of morphed into a really strict routine for home games.
If you had to guess, what would be your guess on what percentage of those shots you have made in your life from the tunnel?
Probably like 15%. It's not good at all. It is a fun moment when it does go in. So I get a hot streak going every once in a while, but then it'll be nice like last night where you go 0-for-5 and don't need to waste any more time out there shooting them.
Last two on this side and then in the back right.
Steph Jett from the World Journal. You know, the Cavs just scored 7 3-point last night compared to the play in Eastern games. It's not good. Do you know what's the reason? Just because of Warriors' defense or they had a bad light?
I think our defense has a lot to do with it. Just being aggressive, trying to follow the game plan. They're obviously a team that shoots the three very well and can get hot at any time, but the key is trying not to let them get open looks and find a rhythm. So from the jump, you want to be able to try to impact, you know, their offensive rhythm by not having any miscommunication, having great rotations on the perimeter, and contesting shots. We could do all that on Sunday and they could make everything. It's just, that's how basketball it is. Is obviously it's a make or miss league, but you know, our defense of energy and kind of focus was pretty good yesterday, and if we can repeat that and take it even up another notch, that's when we're at our best.
Last one, back right.
Hi, Steph. I was wondering if you received the jersey that Lionel Messi had sent you, and if you would like to meet him. Now he's playing the Copa America here, and if you like to invite him to see one of your games.
Oh, for sure. It'd be an honor to have him come watch us play. I've never seen him play in person, but would enjoy that treat as well. And obviously, I never met him in person, but we did exchange jerseys for the Instagram follower milestone, so... mine's still in the mail. I'm waiting for it though.
Wow, I'm just kicking it. Got my J's on. Money to be made. Let's get the day going. Spending all my time in the bay on them. Feeling myself, make Dre on a man. I'm just kicking it.
Kicking it with Cosizzi at the NBA Finals. 2 years in a row. Can you believe this? And you've got the average size crossed out, limited upside crossed out, frail frame crossed out. And then the words very prevalent, back-to-back MVP, kicking it shirt. This is an amazing time.
It's an amazing time. You're definitely right about that. We're here again. We're back. I'm not surprised at all. Best team I've ever seen in my life. I'm sure the listeners too. You see the shirt. It shows you everything that's being doubted. It doesn't really matter what anybody says. You got to come and you got to play and you got to turn up. And that's what they did. They were down 3-1. Now we're here.
This is Cosizzi, and he's got a fashion line working along with all of our discussion that we do and the videos and all of the talk about the shoe culture of the NBA. But so much is working right now, and now you're giving back. You did a show earlier in Northern California, and on this Saturday, a big show in Oakland. What are the details?
We have a pop-up shop at Beast Mode in downtown Oakland with Marshawn, with Mr. Fab, Sav's brand, and my own brand, Kicking It. We have 4 shirts that we made that are really cool. You guys got to take a look at @kickingit_. Follow that. And we're basically giving back to the homeless. So these shirts are made to be fashionable and to look good. And every shirt that's bought will be matched by Fam First Family, which is Marshawn's foundation. And we'll be giving those away on Sunday, preparing lunches by the #lunchbag. They're great over there. And we'll be basically having a really good day on Saturday and Sunday and just kind of doing everything, like I say all the time, for the culture. This is for the Oakland culture. This is for the hip-hop culture. And that's what we're doing it for, man. It's going to be a good time. It's going to feel like Oakland in there. We're going to have a DJ. My man Shabazz will be in there doing his things on one and twos. And it's going to be a good time for the culture. And I hope everybody comes out, buys some shirts so that we can give back.
You got the right people involved. Years ago, I was doing some TV work with Marshawn and Josh Johnson, his cousin, as they started Fam First, the Family Foundation. And when you look at all of what they're doing every Thanksgiving, making sure families have turkeys, to getting involved with your program here, this is really what it is all about.
That's exactly what it is. You hit it on the head. It's exactly what it's about. It's about coming together and doing something good for the people and do it for the culture. And shirts, sneakers, music, we're bringing it all together, and that's what we're doing.
All right, so as we always talk about the kicks to look for at the various stages of the season, last time we talked, we were talking about the 2.5s that Under Armour put out, the Curry 2.5s. And you're seeing some of it, a brand new look. I was just seeing out on the court for what's finals game one.
I love, every year I've always noticed it, me being who I am, I've always noticed it and seen it. Like, I love to see the gold accents on the kicks. It's my favorite part. Like, that's what I look most forward to. So it's dope to see that gold shining on them, whether it's Nike, Adidas, Reebok, whatever it is. Like, I just love to see that. So I look forward to it every year between the finals and the following year when the champions wear the gold kicks too. So it's always exciting to see it.
You're all over social media. If you really want to follow something, it's at Koseezy, C-O-S-E-E-Z-Y on Twitter. Same thing around for his Instagram, kicking it as well. But you've got a lot of photos. And it is like the specialty of what you're doing all throughout the season and especially now in the playoffs.
It is, man. I love it. I'm here. I'm taking these pictures of all the guys' sneakers, and it's kind of one of the biggest rushes that I've ever felt in my life, to be able to be on that court and to watch those guys warm up and take pictures of the thing that I love most. It's the best thing ever for me. And I look forward to coming in every single day and doing it. It's such a rush. I can't even describe the feeling to you because, like, I love basketball and I love sneakers. And I'm at the highest level and I'm seeing these guys that play at the highest level in these dope kicks. I can't even put it into words for you, man, but I love it. Absolutely love it. It's such a great feeling.
And we love what you're doing in the community, especially this Kicking It for the Culture event Saturday in Oakland. One more time for the details.
Kicking It for the Culture will be downtown Oakland at Beast Mode from 1 to 4 for the culture.
Saturday, June 4th. Be there! Hope, determination, focus. These are all inspirational words. At Warrior Sound, we're inspired to bring you comprehensive 2016 NBA playoffs coverage. Extended Warrior Sound post-game programming is available in the iTunes Music Store and the Apple Podcast app, plus now the Google Play Music app on Android. So on the go, you can listen to our expanded Warrior Sound coverage. It's free to subscribe. Search Golden State Warriors for the latest. All right, and as practice wrapped up, we also heard from Draymond Green. Take a listen.
The expense and the, you know, energy you guys gave up in the Western Conference Finals, how much of that was on your mind in terms of how you came out and started game one of this series?
I don't think it was really on our mind. We had to spend a lot of energy, you know, to overcome OKC, but number one, you're not really thinking about it. I mean, it's like the NBA Finals. You know, how many times do you get the opportunity to really play in the NBA Finals? So you kind of put all that behind you and just go out there and play. But it wasn't something that we said, hey, we have spent a lot of energy. We need to do this. We just knew that, you know, last year coming into the finals, everybody was nervous and didn't know what to expect. And it took us a few games to settle in. And we said we need to come out and get going immediately, you know, to start this finals off and kind of try to set the tone.
Over on the right side.
Draymond, how do you feel about having this two-day break at home? Is it good to kind of get a chance to take a breath, or would you kind of like to carry the momentum in and be able to play right away?
I mean, I think you can look at it from two perspectives. You know, it'll definitely be good to carry the momentum in and play right away, but at the same time, I'm not complaining about an extra day of rest, you know, especially after the last series that we went through. You know, it is what it is. So, You know, me personally, I like the 2-day break, but at the same time, it's, I'm sure most people want to just continue that momentum in.
Robert, over here on the left.
Robert Littow, Black Sports Online. You guys seem very composed, loose, and relaxed in game one. How much was that? It was grasping from the experience from last year and kind of knowing what was going to be happening and the media and the practices and all the attention that comes along with being in the finals?
You know, that was huge. You know, just like you said, coming in knowing that all the attention and, you know, the style of play, all that stuff made a difference. And I think the biggest difference was, you know, people forget, like, we play basketball. It's just not basketball. You still got to live every day. I think the biggest difference come off the court, you know, whereas it's your first time to the finals, everybody's coming in town. You want your entire family there. You want to do this. You want to do that. And then you realize, like, oh, man, I got a game to play. This year coming into the finals, you know how to handle all that stuff now, and you know to get it right out the way and focus on the game. And I think that was a huge difference for us, and that's a part of the reason we were just settled in and kind of like, hey, it's another game, because you've been there before, so you know what they expect with everything. And when you go through everything, like, all that stuff weigh on you, you know, and it can sometimes affect the game, but, you know, going through it before, you kind of know how to settle in real quick.
Over here on the right side on one.
Draymond, two questions. First, when the opposing team kind of baits you to shoot the ball, does a part of you get a little offended at that? And then second part, take us through your game day rituals. Do you have any superstitions that you have or anything like that you do on a game day?
I don't get offended. Like, if that's your game plan, that's your game plan. I'm going to shoot. And I'm also not going to shoot every time I'm open either, because obviously if that's your game plan, that's your game plan for a reason, you know, and we still have stuff that we want to accomplish as a team. So, you know, just because you're open always doesn't mean it's a good shot. You know, we're out there in search of great shots. So, but yet I'm never going to get gun shy. You know, I know the amount of work I put in on my shot, and if you don't leave me open, step up and knock it down, you know. So, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't offend me. And then as far as game day rituals, I kind of have my things that I do at the gym. You know, I have to shoot around, cold tub and all that stuff. I usually get a flush by a massage therapist. But I'm not really a superstitious type of guy. You know, I'm a go with the flow type of guy.
I'm Jed from the World Journal. You know, we have huge bench performance last night, and Clay and Steph just scored 20 points. So Coach Steve said, it's a strange game. Do you agree with this?
It was definitely a different game. You know, but the one thing we always preach about is our depth. You know, and we've trusted in that all year, and last night it showed up in a major way for us. So, you know, it was good to have other guys step up, you know, especially in the light of the struggles that, you know, Clay and Steph had. And we know they won't struggle like that all the time, but you know, to be able to win the game the way we did, you know, with those guys struggling like that, says a lot about this team. But it was definitely a different game for sure.
Any other questions? Mark, last one here.
Draymond, when Steve Kerr first uttered the phrase strength in numbers, what went through your mind? And did you ever expect this thing to blow up with names on every T-shirt in an arena? And shouldn't the marketing department be responsible for things like that anyway?
I thought it was corny when he first said it, like, strength in numbers is corny. But when he started to speak on it and say what he meant by it, you know, and then at that point we still don't really understand it, you know, but then you really get the plan and you kind of see what he means. Then all of it come together and it's like, wow, that make a lot of sense, you know. But it was one of those things at first where you're like, huh? Like, you want us to be our motto? Like, we don't like that. But like I said, when you start to see all the stuff work, you know, and you start to see what it really means and you hear what it really means, and then you see, like, obviously last night wasn't the first night, but a night like last night. And you're like, wow, strength in numbers. All right, that make a lot of sense now. You know, so it's definitely something that we – you know, live by, you know, that we try to always be conscious of, because I think the strength in our team is the numbers. You know, it is the depth. It's the camaraderie. It's all of us as one. You know, it's not all of us as a bunch of individuals. And so it makes a lot of sense, and it's, you know, it's very fitting for this team.
And finally, here's what head coach Steve Kerr had to say on Friday afternoon after the Warriors'
First
practice.
First, I'd like to thank the 11 of you for showing up today. Let's proceed.
Coach John Schumann, NBA.com. They were 17 for 35 at the rim last night. That's a lot of attempts, but a low conversion rate, I guess. How would you evaluate that in regard to how you guys defended the paint?
Watching the tape, I thought we did a good job of challenging a lot of shots. I thought they missed a couple that they would normally make. But all in all, it was a good defensive effort. But it's probably going to have to be better in game two because we know the force that they're going to come with.
Mark?
Steve, two very hard-hitting questions for you. First one, marketing departments throughout professional sports very carefully craft slogans that teams then bring into the arena and put on T-shirts. What was your inspiration when you coined the phrase strength in numbers?
Well, the inspiration was not financially motivated, or I would have trademarked it before the team stole it from me. So I looked at the roster, and we had so many guys who can play. It seemed obvious that if we played, you know, 10, 11 people every night at a high level for shorter minutes, that we could wear people down. And so I think what happened was I put together a video to show the team on the eve of training camp our first year. And I wanted kind of them to get a feel for who we are and as a staff. And so there was some humor involved and some clips from movies. And I had Marv Albert narrated. And so we worked pretty hard on this thing. And
how did that sound?
Oh, can you imagine Marv saying strength in numbers? Strength in numbers! It sounds way more dramatic when Marv says it. So it was just, I don't know. Marv and I got together, and I sent him a script, and we kind of talked about it. But the strength in numbers stuff just kind of came up based on the roster and how deep we were.
Secondly, I was watching Steph finish his ritual last night in that tunnel with that ridiculous shot. Mm-hmm. From a degree of difficulty standpoint, how would you characterize that shot, and why is it that he can make it ever?
Yeah, pretty tough shot. But I think what it speaks to more than anything is you know, Steph is a kid at heart. He's always trying crazy stuff. The TV was on in our office last night before the game, and I think it was on, you know, the pregame stuff or whatever. And they're showing our guys warming up, and Steph is trying to punch the ball. Did you see that? He's trying to punch the ball in from a corner three. Like, what is that? But it kind of, it's his approach to the game. It's kind of who he is. He loves to play. He's a kid at heart. He just tries all kinds of different crazy things, and he's pretty good at them.
Steve, you had a lot of success with guys up the bench, different heights, different situations, things really clicking.
How much of that is a plan for that game, and how much is sort of on feel?
Obviously, players have to perform, and if they get the chance, it's up to them to produce. And we like to give a lot of people chances to play. We like to use a lot of people, and as I said, we have a lot of depth, so we have faith that our players are going to come in and play well. But you can never plan for that. You just you do what you do, and it's up to the players. And They did a great job last night, and obviously, in particular, Livingston and Barbosa and Iguodala off the bench were terrific.
Is it kind of thing where maybe Spates would be the next guy to do something in another game?
Yeah. Every series is different, and every game is different, and Mo has won plenty of games for us this year. He hit huge shots against Portland in that series and against OKC, and so there's a good chance you'll see him in this series when the moment is right. And I think there's there's something powerful about everybody playing. You know, I learned that from Phil Jackson, if you remember, in kind of the early days, early 90s, when the Bulls started winning titles, had a lot of guys who would come off the bench, and fans were like, what is, you know? but I remember, you know, the one that jumps out at me is they were down like 15 to Portland at home, and he had Bobby Hansen and Stacey King and B.J. Armstrong on the floor, and I think Michael and Scotty were both out. Maybe Scotty was on the floor. Scotty was on the floor, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, those were great lessons for me to because when guys are vested, there's a strength that comes through that and a unity, and they're in the NBA for a reason. Everybody on every roster in the NBA is a hell of a basketball player. So it's fun to use a lot of different people, and it's great to see guys invested and emotionally involved.
Marcus on the right.
Steve, there was a time where you said you wanted to keep Andre to like 30 minutes, but he's racked up a lot, but he still seems to be fresh. He's got legs on his three. What are you seeing from him physically out there?
He looks great. You know, part of the plan during the regular season is to try to keep his minutes down so that we can then run him into the ground during the playoffs because we need him.
David, right in the center.
You have often said that the second year after you win a championship, things tend to get a little easier. I wonder what burdens are lifted from a team after they win a title, and what do they learn, and what is created within that group that allows them to be better the second year?
Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic when you're trying to repeat, because it's obviously a very difficult thing to do. I think only six franchises have ever repeated in the league's history. A lot of times, you know, breaks come into play, injuries, whatever. But there's on the flip side, if you're able to stay healthy, there's a level of confidence and relief that comes with having a ring already, especially these days. You know, there's such a burden on and a stigma on players and teams that have not won the big one. And, you know, you can name any of the above superstars, right, who you see their name attached, whether it's Charles Barkley or, you know, whoever, you know, Stockton and Malone, you know, oh, they didn't win the big one. I mean, come on. They were, you know, some of the greatest players of all time and had phenomenal runs. But winning the big one these days, it lifts a burden. So in many ways, I think you're able to kind of, as a player, maybe as a team, as a group, you can say, hey, you know, that pressure is gone. But don't let your guard down. Let's do it again, because it's really fun. And that's kind of the approach, I think.
Jay in the back.
Hi, Steve. Two questions. First, what are Cleveland doing? What is Cleveland doing differently, if anything, differently against Steph and Klay defensively, maybe compared to the past or last year? The second one is, how have you been able to get away when Steph switches on LeBron? They really haven't taken much advantage of that. How have you been able to get away with that?
Well, first question, I think everybody has played us differently this year. You know, we had a lot of success last year, getting Draymond free and having him as a playmaker. And I think everybody has sort of tried different things and come up with different formulas. And so we've seen everything. And I thought Cleveland did a good job yesterday, and they had a good game plan. And we have to be able to combat that. And I think we will. But this year has been good for us, because every team has been sort of throwing different stuff at us, and so we're not surprised by anything. Second part of the question, yeah, I mean, LeBron with anybody is a difficult matchup. But when Steph switches on to him, he's just got to do his best to stay in front, and we got to help as much as we can without giving up open threes, and it's much easier said than done. So we're just doing our best.
Jeff, over here. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Steve, since that kicking incident with Draymond Green, have you noticed anything or not in terms of his mindset, his approach that would illustrate how it's affected him?
I think he's well aware of the situation, and so he's playing through frustration better. He's not letting missed calls get to him. He's just playing, and he may have a word with the official, but it's in a respectful manner, and I think he's handled it really well.
Jeff?
Steve, going back to the final three games of last year's finals against Cleveland during the regular season and then game one, what are some of the mechanisms or thought process that keeps you from being too confident and keeps that angst or whatever it is there that, you know, there's the sometimes have the feeling that you have their number? What prevents you from feeling that way?
Because we don't. We don't, honestly. I mean, you know, that's something that we don't – we never look at what happened in the regular season or last year. Every game is so entirely new. And the team we're facing now is totally different from the one we saw in the regular season and the one we saw in the finals, based on injuries, based on coaching, based on health, based on new acquisitions, new lineups. So the team we beat last night is brand new. The previous five games or whatever mean nothing to us. So we don't pay attention to that.
Steve, last one in the back left.
Steve back here. Dan Wyke, Orange County Register. Was there a time when you started working with this team where you kind of really realized that Draymond's energy was a different thing than most guys, that his competitiveness was at a different level? And do you ever wish that you could maybe turn it off?
I don't think it works that way. But when we realized what we had in Draymond was at the beginning of last season when David Lee got hurt, and we put Draymond in the starting lineup, and we got off to a great start. And, you know, as at 6'6 or whatever, you look at him and you don't think, you know, this guy can play center for us, or even power forward in a lot of matchups. But with David's injury, we had, I think, 20 games or so where we just let Draymond go at that spot. And it's like, wow, I mean, he can guard everybody. And he's got that fire and that edge that we need. So, you know, that turned into – David's injury turned into a blessing in disguise for us because we became a better team with Draymond's activity and his energy and his defense. And it allowed us to bring David off the bench, which was a huge luxury to have a, you know, former All-Star coming off the bench in a reserve role. And obviously David played a huge role in the finals last year. So it all worked out, but that was kind of the point where we realized – what Draymond could become, and we want his energy, we want his edge, and we're perfectly fine with what comes along with that.
Warriors Cavaliers Game 2 coming up Sunday here at Oracle Arena. I'm Lawrence Scott. This is Warrior Sound.